This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing.
President Trump reacts to the arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, 47 years old, who sits in a jail in London after hiding out at the Ecuadorian embassy in England for the past 7 years. More now from the president.
I know there is something having to do with Julian Assange. I've been seeing what's happened with Assange, and that will be a determination, I would imagine, mostly by the Attorney General, who's doing an excellent job, so he'll be making a determination. I know nothing really about him. It's not my deal in life.
Assange's attorney, Jennifer Robinson, speaking with reporters.
We will be contesting and fighting extradition. We've requested that he now gets medical treatment. He's been refused medical treatment for the past 7.5 years, since being inside the embassy.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J. Pilot Flying J is launching its new app, designed to make travel easier for everyone on the road. Use the app to find Pilot and Flying J locations, check fuel prices, and save money with exclusive daily offers on popular items. Tim from Pilot Flying J.
The app makes traveling easier. Find fresh food and clean restrooms, save 3 cents on gas, and get great deals on snacks and drinks. Traveling in an RV? Check the app to find stops with RV fuel lanes, dump stations, and propane refills. And for professional truck drivers, Pilot Flying J wants to make your day easier. Save time with quick access to roadside assistance, route planning features, parking and sharing reservations, and mobile fueling.
Get a free drink every day in April when you save the exclusive offer in the app and use the app at the time of purchase. Download the Pilot Flying J app today. Standard data and message rates may apply. Terms and conditions apply.
Lawyers for Patriots owner Robert Kraft are battling to keep the Florida massage parlor videos in his prostitution case secret after he pleads not guilty to charges accusing him of paying for sex at a spa in Jupiter in January. His defense says the billionaire would suffer irreparable harm if the media got access to that police surveillance video footage that allegedly show him engaging in the acts. He's one of 25 men facing charges in connection with a sting operation. Eyebrows were raised when at a Senate hearing on Wednesday, the Attorney General William Barr testified he thought intelligence agencies spied on the Trump 2016 presidential campaign, although later he said he wasn't sure any improper surveillance occurred. One of the president's sons, Eric Trump, said this morning,
"The nice thing about Barr is you finally have a grown-up in the room who calls out this nonsense."
Eric Trump was speaking on Fox and Friends, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
A new indictment tied to the Mueller-Russia investigation, a major player in the Obama administration, indicted by a federal grand jury on making false statements and lying about his work with the Ukrainian government. His name, Greg Craig. He's former President Obama's White House counsel. Now senior advisor to the current president, Trump, Kellyanne Conway, retweeting an article from The Hill about this news, and then tweeting in all caps, "Breaking news, exclamation point, finally, exclamation point. Obama White House official indicted in connection with the Mueller investigation, exclamation point."
I don't know what was in his heart, but I can say it cannot be justified or rationalized.
In Louisiana, a man under arrest in connection with the suspicious fires at three historic black churches.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards confirming that Holden Matthews is the son of St. Landry Parish Deputy Roy Matthews.
These were evil acts.
The younger Matthews being charged with three counts counts of simple arson on religious buildings, each count carrying a 15-year maximum prison sentence. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And a historic April snowstorm to tell you about. It's called a bomb cyclone, and it's hitting the upper Midwest. The powerful spring blizzard bringing with it up to 2 feet of snow and hail in parts of South Dakota and in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. Now, new flood fears once it all melts. For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's why we roll. It's for you, a government of, for, by, we, the people. Yes, it's all about liberty, and we're pursuing it at all costs to get this country back on track and to do what our founding fathers initially designed for us to do. And this is, as I said, to be a government of, for, by, we, the people. It's just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Doug Hirsch joins us now. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk with Doug. He just got back from Israel. And we're going to talk about his just wonderful book, best-selling book, Israel Rising, Ancient Prophecy Through a Modern Lens. Doug, good to have you back with us. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Great to have me. Great to hear from you again.
Well, a lot has been happening since the last time you and I talked last year, with the re-election of Benjamin Netanyahu. He's putting together a conservative government, a record number. This is his fifth time to be re-elected as prime minister. And but his hands are going to be full in putting together this this conservative government, right?
Yeah, for sure. His hands are full, but you know, there's things that have been happening in this election, or at least in the election season, that I'm really curious to see how unfolds. Number one, there was another candidate that was running named Moshe Feiglin, who very openly was calling for the rebuilding of the Third Temple. And for that's the first time ever that an Israeli politician was making that call. At the same time, Netanyahu, and everybody's kind of waiting to see what he's going to do now that he's been reelected and what the government is looking for as far as a stronger conservative base. But he said two really profound things in his campaigns. Number one, he very clearly said there will be no Palestinian state. And number two, he said, if I'm reelected prime minister, we will annex Judea and Samaria, or what most of the world calls the West Bank. And so those three aspects are things that Israeli politicians have never really said before. And so just the fact that he's been reelected for a record fifth term and making such bold statements, it's pretty exciting things that are going on there in Israel. I'm curious to see how they're going to unfold.
What is giving rise to this boldness?
You know, I think a lot of it has just been the U.S. support and the Trump administration for, number one, moving the embassy to Jerusalem has been a huge support of just Israeli sovereignty and specifically Israeli sovereignty. As many of your listeners probably well know, that it was just a few weeks ago that the United States officially recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which Israeli sovereignty has really been there since 1967, since they took that region from Syria in a defensive war. And so I take groups with my travel company, Ezra Adventures. I take groups to the Golan Heights on a regular basis. It's beautiful. There's life that's blossoming there. There's vineyards and orchards and fields. I mean, it's fully Israeli by all means. So it's just simply that the U.S. was making a State Department declaration that that it's recognizing that sovereignty isn't really saying anything new other than the obvious, but just to have a U.S. administration completely backing Israel, I think, has really been giving some boldness to Netanyahu as far as making some major changes in Israel moving forward.
And, Doug, you point out something that if people have not been to Israel, they wouldn't quite understand. But there is a clear demarcation in areas where Israel is in control. In my visit of Israel, it was stark. I mean, where Israel was in control, it was green, it was blossoming, it was fertile, it was growing. In the areas where it was controlled by the alleged Palestinians, it's very dark and, and lifeless, I guess, is might be the term that I could use. And it just seems so clear. And it's no wonder why Arabs in Israeli-controlled areas felt more secure, happier, if I could say that, as opposed to these areas where there's that contention and that negativity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Palestinians, and I know this from a firsthand account and being in Israel on a regular basis, both in Jewish and Palestinian communities and having having friends that are leaders in both communities, most Palestinians will tell you behind closed doors, they won't say it publicly because of how the Palestinian Authority runs things and the fear of arrest or even worse, but most Palestinians will tell you behind closed doors, even if they don't agree with Israeli politics or they've got disagreements with this or that or the other thing in regards to how Israel runs things, most of them will tell you behind closed doors, life is better under Israel. And statistically, outside of politics, and you kind of alluded to some of it, is that Arabs that are living under Israeli sovereignty have the highest life expectancy, the lowest infant mortality rate. They're more educated. They make more money. They have more safety and more security than any other Arabs living in any other country anywhere else in the Middle East. And so when we have conversations about Palestinian hardships and the difficulties and those types of things, and people like to say, well, it's Israel's fault, they're blaming Israel, statistically, Israel's not the problem. Israel is the answer. Statistically,
yes.
Arabs throughout the Middle East, and for those that are the few that are bold enough to say it, Arabs that are living under Israeli sovereignty, they are living in the best possible place within the Middle East, because they're not going to find the same things in Syria or Saudi Arabia or Lebanon. Pick an Arab nation. Nothing compares to the life in Israel for Arabs.
Yeah, and Doug, I'm glad you're describing this because here in this country, as you know, we have a politician, a newly elected politician, who has, her worldview was established, with the Palestinian philosophy, and, and this dominates her worldview. And so she is very outspoken against Israeli influence here in America. It's caused a lot of and some conversation. But again, I've said, well, what do you expect? That is her worldview. Just like, my worldview is from a Christian perspective, a biblical perspective. So there's going to be certain things that follow that, that specific perspective. Now, I'm not telling her she has no right to that, but everybody else, I mean, you know, in this country, you have rights, so that's your opinion. You can espouse that, but also we have the right to challenge that and know that that's where you're coming from. And so I don't expect her to be converted overnight and to see it, because she's so well indoctrinated. And as you say, the belief, it's a very compelling compelling in that it's compulsory if you are Palestinian to believe a certain way. If not, you're out of the club.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, there are, again, if we're talking just about studies and research and statistics and such, I mean, putting politics and religion aside and that type of thing, I mean, there is a direct correlation between the influence of the Palestinian Authority in a particular region or a particular city and the drop of standard of living and the drop of human rights. And so, so when I have Arab friends in Jerusalem, or sorry, in a city like Jericho, which is run by Palestinian Authority for both civil and security control, and they're telling me that Jericho is a sleepy town, and you can actually joke about, you know, life. And
there is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The deep state began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay Heating Pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. You hold my head, you hold my head, you hold my head. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh and independent, every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Doug Hershey is our guest. His book, Israel Rising, Ancient Prophecy of a Modern Lens, is a four-color hardback book that features more than 175 spectacular photographs from photojournalist Elise Monique Thérault. They compare 100-year-old pictures of the Holy Land to current pictures taken from the same angle, revealing the miraculous changes in this region since the rebirth of Israel. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But, Doug, I want to go back and allow you to finish your statement. We got cut off because we went into a hard break there, and I apologize. But if you can finish your story.
Yeah, you know, with we were just talking about how there's a direct correlation between the dramatic influence of the Palestinian Authority and the drop of both the standard of living and the human rights aspects in those living under that influence. And so there's certain towns in Israel that are under the, I say in Israel, within the West Bank region, which is when people hear the term West Bank, what it's really referring to, it's the West Bank territory on the West Bank of the Jordan River that Israel took from Jordan when Jordan attacked them in 1967. In the Bible, it's referred to as Judea and Samaria, but there are cities within an area that the Palestinian Authority has been given civil control and security control, where no Jews are allowed to be in. And so there are different places within those cities that if you're joking about politics, if you're talking about something in a negative way about the Palestinian government, the Palestinians have an organization it's really more of a mafia style team called the Palestinian Preventative Services. And those are the guys that if they hear you talking about something or somebody reports you, they're the guys that show up at 2 a.m. and they either take you off to jail or take you somewhere for several days and you might not come back. And so that's mm-hmm. what life is like under the Palestinian Authority. And I know this from firsthand, from being in Palestinian homes, of having friends and families that have personally experienced it. This is not, you know, this is not rumor. This is firsthand accounts. And so all of exactly. that to say that Palestinians living under Israeli sovereignty, while they have disagreements about this, that, or the other thing, they recognize that life is much safer, it's better, and it's more profitable for them and their families.
Interesting that Jews are not allowed in Palestinian areas, but Palestinians are allowed in Jewish-controlled areas. That's the rich irony, right?
It is, and that's one of the things when we take our small groups. I have a travel company, Ezra Adventures, and we take these small groups all throughout through the land, and we're involved in both Jewish and Palestinian communities. What many people on this side of the ocean don't realize, there are many communities where Jews and Arabs get along great. They harvest together, they have dinner together, they're friends, they ride the same buses, there is no apartheid silliness that people talk about. Where the real issue comes down isn't between Jew and Arab, it's between Islam and really anything that Islam is against. That's where the real conflict and the real problem is.
Which is everything that is not Islam. That's we'll just make
exactly.
it simple, right?
100%.
Right.
100%. So we often will go to Arab restaurants and we have Arab friends. I mean, it's not a Jewish and Arab issue.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. In your book, Israel Rising, Ancient Prophecy and Modern Lens, it draws inspiration, and you made reference to this,
of the ancient prophecy from Ezekiel. Explain to our audience how your book documents the fulfillment of these prophecies.
Ezekiel 36 in the Bible is this sort of rare prophecy of sorts that's not spoken to people. It's spoken directly to the land. And it basically, in paraphrasing, just says that, that when the Jewish people are out of the land, that the land will be desolate and forgotten and, you know, really become sort of the mockery of the nations. And when the Jewish people return, the branches will put forth fruit, the land will be cultivated and sown, the waste and forgotten cities will be rebuilt, and God will multiply the population back on the land. Basically, the entire land will come back to life in just a very tangible and a very dramatic way. And so what we did is we got 2,200 old photos that were taken between the 1880s and the 1940s, and as you mentioned, I went back with a photographer and reshot those angles to show how much the land has revived. And in the book as well, there's about 2,000 years of eyewitness accounts of describing what the land looked like from the perspective of Christians, Muslims, and Jews, basically providing some both historical and some photographic evidence that nothing has ever happened before in the region like what's happening right now under Israeli sovereignty. And so
it
we were just
so
talking
stark.
A little bit about
No, Doug, I was just reinforcing that these pictures and the comparison is so stark that you cannot deny the hand of God in this.
It is. And what's even more stunning, too, is that, you know, it's easy to say, well, any place today looks better today than it did 100 years ago. And that's true. But what's most stunning, and you said the key thing is you can't deny that God is doing something. What sets Israel apart is no other people group, not the Chinese or the Romans or the Persians or the Greeks, no ancient people group has any type of writings that predict the destruction of both the region and the conquest of that particular people group to be scattered for thousands of years, to come back and to fulfill the pages of those prophecies, of those words, in the way that has happened with Israel. That's what makes this whole thing unique, is that it's an anomaly in human history to have a people group come back to the exact same piece of land 2,000 years later as an identifiable, recognizable people speaking the same languages, the same traits, the same characteristics, and have it all foretold 2,600 years ago. That has never happened in human history before, and that's some of what we're trying to capture in Israel Rising.
You know, and Doug, this is another one of those signs that people are, you know, looking to God. They go, oh, God, just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. And I'm sure that God must laugh from heaven at our ignorance and our total disdain for the obvious signs and, you know, prophetic events. And when we talk about it, it's not like this is so mysterious. When, you know, some people hear the term prophecy and they think woo-woo or that it's so mysterious.
Right.
It is not. I mean, it's absolutely practical. God said it was going to happen. It happened. And the people still sit there and say, well, God, if you would only give us a sign.
Yeah. Yeah, and you make a great point about being very practical and literal and tangible. Like when the Bible talks about the desert blooming, it is. The waste and forgotten cities will be rebuilt. I take my groups there. We have lunch in some of these waste and forgotten cities. You know, when God says that I'm going to do, you know, these specific things, and these specific things are happening, they're happening because he said so. I mean, there's only one possible explanation. And so, you know, even secular economists look at Israel in the last 70 years and say, you know, this is the nation itself is an economic miracle. I mean, you can look at military history in Israel and say they were outnumbered 4-1 in the War of Independence. In the Six-Day War in 67, they were outnumbered 5-1. And they should have been overrun. They should have been decimated. There shouldn't be a nation anymore, but yet there is, and it's even stronger than ever. I mean, there's multiple aspects that just make make these types of arguments sort of silly in the terms of what's literally and tangibly happening in the last 70 years, and that's some of what we capture in the photography in Israel Rising.
And you kind of alluded to this. I mean, here's this desert wasteland, and the ingenuity and inventions that have been created that have allowed the land to flourish and come, you know, become green and vital and, you know, fulfilling is an absolute miracle. And people, as you say, are astonished. And they think, well, you know, maybe the Jews just got lucky, right?
Yeah, I mean, luck really has nothing to do with it when you're fulfilling things that are happening or that were foretold 2,600 years ago. And so that's really the message of Israel Rising. It's also the message of Ezra Adventures, when we're taking small groups there on a pretty regular basis to not only just look at the pictures, let's go walk the land. Let's be a part of prophecy being fulfilled. And that's what I tell skeptics. Like, okay, you got questions, you got problems? Come with me. Let's walk the land together.
We got to leave it there. Doug Hershey, thank you so much.
Brought to you by Facebook Marketplace. Springtime has long been associated with the act of decluttering, and this year, there's no doubt that many people will try to spark joy by parting with the items they no longer need. But why just toss those items when you could make some serious cash selling them online? And while you're at it, you can source locally for something to refresh your space. Yvette Rios is a TV host, lifestyle expert, and writer.
Spring is the perfect time to sell seasonal items, and you can start spring cleaning in minutes using apps you already have on your phone, like Facebook Marketplace. Just snap a few photos, write a brief description, and name your price. You can also give your home a new look by refreshing your space with home decor and furniture sourced locally. Type in what you're looking for, tables, artwork, mirrors, and more, then narrow it down by price and what's nearest to you.
For more information on how to start selling and buying, visit facebook.com/marketplace.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing.
President Trump reacts to the arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, 47 years old, who sits in a jail in London after hiding out at the Ecuadorian embassy in England for the past 7 years. More now from the president.
I know there is something having to do with Julian Assange. I've been seeing what's happened with Assange, and that will be a determination, I would imagine, mostly by the Attorney General, who's doing an excellent job. So he'll be making a determination. I know nothing really about him. It's not my deal in life.
Assange's attorney, Jennifer Robinson, speaking with reporters.
We will be contesting and fighting extradition. We've requested that he now gets medical treatment. He's been refused medical treatment for the past 7.5 years, 7 years since being inside the embassy.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We're here at NRB, Proclaim 19, Anaheim, California, just around the corner from Disneyland. Don't tell the kids that we came here without them. They're going to be yelling at us, but we're having a good time because we're about the Father's business, right? Most important. Hey, Nate Burt is with us right now. We're going to be talking about his book, Frozen But Not Forgotten. And joining us also is Kimberly Tyson. Kimberly's the executive director of the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program. It is a division of Nightlight Christian Adoptions. And welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Well, Nate, we'll start off. Tell us your story.
Sure. So my wife, Julie, and I have three biological sons, and we decided a couple of years ago that we wanted to have a fourth child. But when I
proposed this idea to my wife, she said, okay, but we're going to pursue embryo adoption. And we heard about it from some friends at church, but I was a little bit opposed to the idea. I didn't understand it. I thought it seemed a little strange. But as I got to studying and praying and thinking about how God adopts each of us into his family,
exactly.
I recognized these frozen embryos, more than 1 million in the United States today, need families. They need someone to care for them, recognizing they are made in the image of God.
Exactly. And Kimberly, your story.
Well, I spent 23 years in telecommunications before I came to Nightlight Christian Adoptions, and I was hired to manage our federal grant program to raise awareness about human embryo adoption. Mm-hmm. And I'm still doing that today, and then I'm also the director of the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program.
Okay, so give us a little bit more, background about that. I mean, people hear embryo adoption, give me some more background to that.
Yes, I usually get the deer in the headlights look when I say that.
Did I do that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
Ah, your eyes got wide. Anyway, embryo adoption is a process where families who have remaining embryos from an infertility treatment called in vitro fertilization have remaining embryos in frozen storage. They're cryogenically preserved. That family doesn't have any plan to have more children. Mm-hmm. In fact, their children tend to be 5 and older by the time they're deciding, we need to do something with these remaining embryos. The only life choice for the embryos is to donate them for reproduction.
Okay.
And you can do that through your fertility clinic, but you do that anonymously then. Mm-hmm. Or you can do it through a program like Snowflakes, where we empower that family to choose a family like Nate's, Nate's and Julie's,
yes.
to adopt a set of embryos and hopefully give birth to a baby or babies out of that set of embryos.
So it was that kind of experience for you, Nate? I mean, it was like, okay, we could have one, we could have two.
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I, we adopted 3 embryos from our wonderful placing family, and we were fully anticipating the possibility of triplets.
Oh.
And the thawing process can be difficult on embryos, and so 2 of them sadly did not survive, but we recognize that they're with God now.
Yes, right.
And the one that did survive is our daughter, Phoebe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the process that we went through, not knowing all of the answers, but knowing that it's in God's hands.
And I'm looking at a picture of Phoebe. Oh, my goodness. How precious.
Thank you so much. We adore her.
Yes. Well, I mean, okay, so you decide to do this, and you go to the adoption agency to adopt an embryo. You adopt 3, right?
That's right.
Right.
And it's a process that takes time, and Nightlight, because it's the oldest embryo adoption program in the world, they've been doing this for 20 years, it's modeled after a domestic adoption or an international adoption where you're going through a home study process. They're coaching you through, is this the right decision for your family? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Asking some tough questions.
Right.
And then going through the process of matching. There's no catalog. They actually match you with families based on profiles that you build with photos and information about your background, your values. And so that process was really important to us to make sure that when Phoebe grows up, we can explain her backstory. She has access through an open adoption to her biological family.
Okay,
knows
so
her story.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, Kimberly, is how do you match these families?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the history of the embryo, the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that, and then you're cross matching it with the prospective parent, right?
Right. So when families who have remaining embryos, we call them placing families, because you don't donate children to families, you adopt children into families, which is why we apply an adoption model. And so those families go through a whole process to be qualified to place their embryos for adoption. The FDA has some rules and regulations we have to follow. We get 3 generations of medical history on that family. If they created their embryos using a donor egg or donor sperm, we get as much information about that donor as possible. And then they build a family profile. It's usually, 10 pages or less profile of their family. They give us preferences of how they would like to match with a family. It's usually based on finances, length of time married, do they have children already, what faith do they practice, and things of that nature. We don't really match on hair and eye.
Mm, right, yeah, right, exactly. No, but that's interesting that even, thinking of an embryo to say, okay, this is where I want, because they're really forecasting seeing this as a child. child, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely, and it is a baby, right?
That's
all
right.
of us started out as an embryo.
Right.
And so the question is, do we honor life by giving them the best chance at success, or do we leave them in frozen storage for a long time? Do we donate them to research, or do we destroy them? And as a Christian, none of those other options are acceptable.
Exactly.
Adoption is the only option.
Now, how long had she been frozen?
So she was frozen for 10 years, and as Kimberly will tell you, that's not the oldest period of time that embryos have been frozen.
So, like, she's born, she's 10 years old, born. You know, it's like, look at my 10-year-old daughter here.
She's technically older than our three sons. Our oldest son is 7 going on 8.
Yeah.
And so
well,
it's interesting.
Wait until she gets older. She'll remind him of that. So I'm actually 10 years older.
She will be the boss.
Yeah, right. No doubt. Well, that's an interesting, it's kind of a practical application here, you know?
Well, the reality is in the human race, we usually count people at the time they're born.
Not when they're conceived.
Not when they're conceived.
Right. Thank you for clearing that up. This is just a couple of guys talking here.
Yes.
This is why we need you here.
Don't know what they're talking about.
This is why we need you in the middle of this. As you were saying, Kimberly, I mean, this is becoming more acceptable, right? And you've got a lot of families, you know, like Nate and his wife, you know, and, you know, here's this bundle of joy now. She's just way precious.
Isn't that sweet? It is such a privilege to do this work that I view as God's work. And it always kind of chokes me up when I talk about it because, you know, God is the author of life.
Mm.
And he created these embryos, and we're doing our best to help babies be born out of frozen storage.
Well, that's very cool. And Nate, for you, you know, here you, you're doing a step-by-step guide to embryo adoption to help other, you know, would-be fathers like yourself.
That's right. So Frozen But Not Forgotten is really the book that Julie and I wanted to have as we were going through the process. And there are lots of great embryo adoption resources, right? Snowflakes.org is where the Snowflakes program has more information. My website, frozenbutnotforgotten.com, I blog there and provide advice and insights for parents. And so I would just encourage you to go and seek out that information. Embryo adoption isn't for everyone,
mm-hmm.
but whether you plan to adopt yourself, you may have remaining embryos to place, or you may simply want to inform your church community or people who don't have that awareness, to your point, Bill.
Right.
You know, it's so important that we recognize that this is life.
Yes.
And to honor that life, we have to raise awareness of mm-hmm. why, how we got here and what we can do about it together as Christians.
And for your wife to say, I want to do this. I mean, and you had to do, you know, some more research and understand and prayer, you know?
Absolutely. And I think, I don't want to, you know, cast a broad brush, but I think men in particular oftentimes are the point at which a family stops pursuing adoption because whether it's our pride, our ego, our uncertainty, our fears. But, you know, when we give that to God and you recognize that God is in control, one thing I didn't mention earlier is that I love my sons. I love all of my children dearly.
Yes, right.
The Bible says we don't show partiality, but I always secretly, and not secretly, my wife knows this, I'd always wanted a little girl. And God kept giving me sons. And there's I'm sure there's a very good reason for that.
Well, because it goes with the movie or the TV series, My Three Sons. That's why.
That was probably the reason number one, right?
Exactly.
But
you remember. Nate Burt, his book, Frozen But Not Forgotten, available at all the usual places.
Yeah, so it releases April 1st.
Okay.
Available online, booksellers, and on my website. So.
Good, and we're going to link it on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. And Kimberly Tyson, Executive Director of the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program. Where can they go for more information, Kimberly?
Well, for sure, at snowflakes, with an S, .org, and info at snowflakes. We have social media, and there's just really a wealth of information on the website to help you understand maybe a little bit more about what is this
exactly
crazy adoption process.
Well, thank you both for stopping by. Kimberly Tyson and Nate Burt on Bill Martinez Live.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Find out all the information, past interviews. Maybe you heard partials. Say, I want to hear that. Ooh, look, download it. Absolutely free. It is our gift to you, and thank you for joining in on a good fight to get this country back on track. We're going to remember and go back 107 years, okay? The RMS Titanic. A British passenger liner that sank in the North Atlantic Ocean in 1912 after colliding with an iceberg during her maiden voyage from Southampton to New York City. Of the estimated 2,224 passengers and crew aboard, more than 1,500 died, making it one of modern history's deadliest commercial marine disasters during peacetime. The RMS Titanic, according to WikiLeaks, was the largest, I say WikiLeaks, forgive me, I've got Julian Assange on my mind because he's in the news. Wikipedia, of course. RMS Titanic was the largest ship afloat at the time she entered service and was the second of three Olympic-class ocean liners operated by the White Star Line, built by the Harland and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast. Thomas Andrews, chief naval architect of the shipyard at the time, died in the disaster. And with us right now is Veronica Hinckley, and she is releasing and has written a new book about the Titanic. It's the last night on the Titanic, The Unsinkable Drinking, Dining, and Style. Veronica, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, the whole story of the Titanic is so extraordinary, but you give us a perspective as we pause to consider, you know, the final hours and, you know, what was happening, you know, on that last night on the Titanic.
Well, you know, there were a lot of activities that night. Many eyewitness accounts describe it as the most festive, joyous night of the whole journey, which was really only several days. They had started all boarding passengers on the 10th, and so it was on the 14th, 4 days later, and on that night at 11:40 p.m. when the Titanic struck the iceberg. And up until that time, it was very joyous, as I was saying. They were, passengers and crew were busying with dinner, and there was a very special thing happening in second class. There was an impromptu, unscheduled hymn service that a couple of the passengers took it upon themselves to initiate. It wasn't scheduled, and so they asked the journalist, Lawrence Beasley, if he would put in a good word for them with the chaplain team and try to get some space and time so that they can get together. And what an irony, they were singing songs that little did they know at the time would be encouraging to them in light of what was about to happen, the incredible struggle that they were about to face, songs like Lead Kindly Light and a Pastor of Green and songs like that. So that was pretty amazing. In first and in steerage classes, it was very much like what we see in the movie by James Cameron, the Titanic movie that is so beloved, where it was just very festive and a lot going on, a phenomenal dinner in first class with incredible foods and the finest ingredients by French chefs that had been commissioned and were part of the team led by Italian entrepreneur Luigi Gatti. Not so much in steerage. They had had their bigger meal in midday that day, as they customarily did then. It was beef and brown gravy, potatoes for their midday meal. And then around the evening time, it was more like heavy snacking, not such a huge meal. So a lot going on. One of the key elements of that night was it was Captain Smith's retirement dinner. It was a private affair that was hosted by the Widners from Philadelphia. And the private affair was, even though it was invitation only, it was at a table in the midst of the first class dining room. So their meal was very different, but was probably similar to what the other first class diners were eating that night or other things that they had eaten throughout the journey.
Yeah, because here, you know, as was noted, I mean, you had very wealthy and noted people on this maiden journey. I mean, everything you talk about, the first of the first class, right?
Right. They were definitely, you know, some of the wealthiest people in the world. There was John Jacob Astor IV, who was, you know, arguably one of the most wealthy people in the world. And these folks traveled together quite a bit. This wasn't unusual for them to be socializing together like they were aboard the Titanic, because they, in many cases, they had come across each other and gotten to know each other over the years in their travels.
You note in the book, speaking of Captain Smith, the eyewitness testimony to the final moments. Relate that to our audience.
Well, at least one eyewitness claimed that he believed that it was Captain Smith who swam a baby out to a lifeboat. This was after the Titanic had completely gone under the water. And of course, if you can imagine, it was pitch darkness, very, very dark. In fact, people were lighting rope tips to with their cigarette lighters to try to see something in front of them. So this could have been, you know, something that the person imagined. But it very much rings true with the type of person that I was able to learn Captain Smith was. He was a gentleman until the very end, very stoic, and, you know, he was offered a spot on that lifeboat that he swam out to with the baby, and he declined, which is what led people to believe it was very likely him. He said, you know, that's good. He said, good boys, good lads. And people believe that that was Captain Smith.
And, of course, the water was so cold that their ability to survive in that water was measured in minutes, was it not?
Right. It was below freezing. And it's absolutely amazing that there were people who survived. One man said that he had tread water for 2 hours. And amazingly, his life vest kept him afloat so well that his hair didn't even get wet. That was the chief baker, Charles Jochen, who has an amazing story of heroism. He helped people get into the lifeboats. And then when it was his turn to get the command to board his assigned lifeboat, the lifeboat that he had been informed that that would be his station assignment in case of an emergency, he did not receive the command to board the lifeboat. And that is when he went and, as he put it to the British inquiry officials, he had a nip down in his quarters. He went and had some drinks because he was at the point where he realized he wasn't going to be able to get into a lifeboat. And he took matters into his hands and was proactive and saw the deck chairs after all the boats had gone. He looked at those deck chairs and he thought, if I throw them into the water, maybe there will be one that I can hold on to. And that is what he did. He threw deck chairs into the water.
Wow. And how many other people embraced deck chairs? I mean, I imagine you're thrown out there, you got people floating in the water, you know, just grabbing onto anything they could to stay afloat. I'm sure those deck chairs probably came in handy for other people as well in the time being.
Right, I'm sure. And I'm sure that the depiction in James Cameron's movie Titanic was very much like what it would have been in real life, with people clinging to whatever they could hold on to.
Mm-hmm. What other extraordinary stories did you come along? Because you were able to, you know, gain some eyewitness insight in the writing of your book, The Last Night on the Titanic. Share with our audience some more stories.
Well, one of the stories that was just really moving for me was the story of Adolpha Salfeld. Adolpha wrote a letter home on his first day aboard the Titanic. He boarded on April 10th in Southampton. That was the port where the passengers first boarded. And the first thing he did aboard the Titanic was have a sumptuous lunch, and then he took a nap, and then he wrote a letter home to his wife, a letter that he mailed the next day at the next port of call that the Titanic made, which was in France. And then she, of course, went to Queenstown and then onward west to head to New York. But it was at in France, or in Cherbourg, where he was able to mail this letter, and or I believe that's where it was mailed from. That's my best guess. And the letter detailed the enormous lunch he had had, the beautiful filet of plaice, which is a fish filet. He had apple Manhattan and Roquefort cheese for dessert, and he said he washed it down with an iced lager, Botten lager. And it was really telling to me to see that somebody in that era would prioritize the food to be what he talks about in the letter to his wife. It was all about the food. It was all about the Titanic. And he never actually was able to shake his experience having survived in a culture where it was women and children first. He did
survive.
He got into a lifeboat. But he was never able to escape that terrible social judgment of why did he survive. And so that made me realize that even the survivors didn't really survive in many ways.
You can only imagine. Of course, Veronica Hinke has been researching the Titanic for as long as she can remember, she says. Interviewed hundreds of experts on lifestyles, foods, and drinks for Tribune Media, and her brand new book, available now, The Last Night on the Titanic, Unsinkable Drinking, Dining, and Style. Veronica, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate all the insight and the stories.
Well, thank you. Have a wonderful
day. What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients So the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help, so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Anytime.